pretty often I'll have someone that comes to me and says, well, you know, I've really struggled with this sin in my life, and I'm not sure how I'm going to overcome it because I try and I try and I try and I fail. And I say, well, that's exactly what's going to happen. Every time you try, you are going to fail because you're doing it the wrong way.
Welcome to Speak to Me with Bible teacher Billy Pruitt. Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, Billy's going to teach us how we can be quickened by the resurrection power of Christ. So stay tuned. You don't want to miss this life-altering message. Here is Billy.
Not too long ago, I had a very strange conversation. I was talking with a young man, and he asked me, do you know what is Area 51? And, of course, I said, well, I've heard of Area 51. He says, well, what do you think they have there? I said, well, you know, I really don't know. I know it's a top-secret military kind of place, but I don't really know much about it beyond that. I said, there's all kinds of opinions about it. Well, he looked at me with a puzzled look, and then he says, well, have you ever wondered if maybe they have there at Area 51 the remains of Jesus? I thought, wow, what an interesting thing to say. Well, needless to say, it opened up the opportunity for a conversation concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ. At this season of the year, Christians are always focusing on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and rightly so, because the difference between Christians and everyone else in the world is very simply this. Christians believe that the divine Son of God came to the earth, died on the cross, and raised from the dead. That is the separator line between Christians and all other people on the earth. And this isn't surprising because the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundational doctrine of the Christian church. It is a foundational doctrine of the entire movement known as Christianity. Christianity rises or falls on the doctrine of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ did not raise from the dead, then our faith is in vain and we're wasting our time. But Christians all over the world believe that Jesus Christ indeed did come and die on the cross and raise from the dead. That's the basic Christian doctrine. Today, we're going to talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but we're not going to talk about it so much from a historical perspective, although that's an interesting study. Today, we're going to talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, basically off of a statement that the Apostle Paul made in the book of Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Now, I want to focus on the phrase here, and the power of his resurrection, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. What exactly does that mean, the power of his resurrection? Well, you see, it's one thing to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross long ago, and it's entirely a different thing to believe that he is here now with the power of his resurrection. Today we're going to explore what this means and how it can really make a difference in our lives. If you were to take a survey of the people around you concerning the resurrection of Christ, you might be startled and surprised as to how many people would say that they believe in the resurrection of Christ. Of course, if you just go around asking people, most people are going to say, oh, sure, I believe that Jesus Christ came, died on the cross, and raised from the dead. You can ask person after person after person, unless they are specifically a non-Christian or come from non-Christian background of some sort, maybe Hindu or Muslim or some kind of faith other than Christianity. Most people that have any kind of background in any kind of Christian church whatsoever, even if they themselves are not professing believers, most of the time they'll say, well, yeah, I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and raised from the dead. It is so easy for people to say that. The thing is this, though. Does saying that make any difference in a person's life? Well, the Bible says very clearly that we have to confess the resurrection of Jesus Christ in order to be saved. Well, these people indeed confess the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They say, oh, sure, I believe Jesus died and rose again. Oh, sure, no problem with that. They believe that. No big deal. But the thing is, though, we realize that there's some kind of a breakdown in the faith there because there's nothing that's changed in their lives. There's nothing that's been dramatically altered. They are not following Christ. They're not giving their life to him in any kind of capacity. They're just saying, well, yeah, I do. I believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the question is this, does that kind of belief in the death and resurrection of Christ really have any effect on somebody? And the answer is, well, no, it does not. It doesn't have any effect whatsoever. And the reason is because they're just simply making a statement. They've really never evaluated the truth of the matter. And on top of that, they've never experienced the power of the resurrection in their own lives. It's easy to talk about something long ago and far away and say, oh, sure, I believe in that. It's a whole lot more difficult to talk about something that's up close and personal right here, right now, and has the power to alter my life and change the direction that I'm headed in this world. A number of years ago, John Maxwell made a very interesting illustration of this point. He said, if you tell somebody that there are a trillion stars in the sky, they'll believe you no problem. But if you tell them that the paint on the park bench is wet, they'll have to touch it in order to see for themselves. You see, it's easy to believe in something that's far off in the distance, whether it be in the future or whether it be in the past or whether it be a faraway distance of some kind, even in from here to the stars and that kind of thing. It's easy to believe something that's far away, something that really does not have the power to affect our lives in any kind of way. But it's a whole lot harder to believe something that's right here in the here and now, something that can be part of our lives, something that can alter our lives. It's very difficult for someone to believe in that. And that's exactly what we're talking about today, is the power of the resurrection. Not the memory of the resurrection, the power of the resurrection. Now, we know that we should memorialize the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we should look back on it, and we should remember it, but there's got to be a whole lot more than that, because the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3:10 is talking about the power of the resurrection. And what exactly is the power of the resurrection? In order to answer that story, we're going to look at an episode in the book of John. In the book of John, chapter 11, we see this very amazing story of a man named Lazarus. And of course, most of you probably know the story. Lazarus was sick. And they sent word to Jesus, hey, Lazarus is sick. And Lazarus was a personal friend of Jesus. Jesus knew the family, and the man had two sisters, Mary and Martha. And Jesus was friendly with these people. The Bible even says that he loved these people. And so when they sent word to Jesus, hey, Lazarus is sick, you know, they're basically calling Jesus, hey, Jesus, would you please come and heal Lazarus? He's sick. But Jesus didn't come immediately. In fact, the Bible says that he just stayed where he was. He didn't even bother to move at all. And he did that for two whole days. He just waited in the same place. Well, finally, the time came. He said, well, let's go down and see Lazarus because Lazarus is asleep. Well, his disciples thought, well, sleep is good for a person that's sick. So that's good for him to sleep. But Jesus finally said, no, wait a minute, fellas. You misunderstand. Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad I wasn't there, but we're going to go down and see Lazarus because he's now dead, and we're going to go see him. The next part of this story is so interesting because Jesus shows up on the scene where Mary and Martha were still, and their brother is now dead, and he's been dead for a while, and Jesus has a conversation with Martha that is just truly astounding. And we're going to look at that conversation. When Jesus got there, the Bible says, and I'm starting in John chapter 11, verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. She's saying, Lord, if you had come, and he would still be alive. We wouldn't have to mourn. We would not have all this grief and anguish around here, because if you had come, he'd still be alive because you could have healed him. Verse 22, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Now, we don't know exactly what she was hoping for by that statement. But we do realize that she said she was putting herself in a position to believe for an amazing miracle of Lazarus coming back from the dead, but it seems as if she was really somewhat afraid to express that statement. Well, verse 23 says, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. It's a plain, simple statement. Thy brother shall rise again. Verse 24, Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But she was real quick to jump on that. She was real quick to jump on that, and I want to share with you that for just a moment. You see, it's easy for us to think, wow, you know, we're going to be raised in the last day. We're all going to go to heaven. And it's easy to think way out there in the future and kind of think on that and put our minds to the fact of the future and the future and the future and the future. Again, we're looking at something way out there in the future. It's easy for us to imagine something out in the future. It's easy for us to imagine something at a far or distant place. Just like it's easy for us to look back and think something about something in the past from a far long time ago. But what about now? What about today? Jesus looked at her and confronted this issue in her life about the today. Okay? He said, thy brother shall rise again. And then when she says, yeah, I know he's going to rise again in the resurrection, Jesus says this in verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? You see, Jesus cut straight to the heart of the matter. He was not wanting for her to believe in the resurrection on the last day. He was wanting her to believe in the resurrection that was staring her in the face right then and there that day. And he puts her on the spot by saying, believest thou this? Do you believe, Martha, do you believe that you are looking at the resurrection right now? Not way off in the future somewhere. Are you looking at the resurrection right now? Do you believe that? Verse 27, she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. She makes a great confession of Christ right there that she believes in him. Here's the thing. The very same question that we have to see Martha answer is the very question that we have to be willing to answer today. You see, it's easy for us to say, oh, yeah, I believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead. Oh, sure, I believe that. It's even easy for us to say, oh, yeah, I believe that people are going to be raised from the dead and go to heaven. Oh, it's easy to say that. But her question had nothing to do with the future and had nothing to do with the past. Her question from Jesus was, do you believe now? Do you believe that you are looking the resurrection straight in the face? Do you believe that I am the resurrection? Do you believe that I can speak into existence and the power of God will raise this man, your brother, the one you care about so much from the dead today? Do you believe that? Well, now that's a whole different question than whether or not we believe something in the past. The question to us is the same question. Believest thou this? Believest thou this? Do you believe in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ here and now, right now, this day, this moment, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, do you believe that Jesus is, right now, the power of the resurrection? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe that? See, that's the question that I'm bringing to you today. A parrot could be taught to say, I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It would be easy to do that if you had a very trained parrot. They would be able to repeat your words. But the point is, the parrot would not know what in the world it was talking about. It's easy to say, oh, I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But do you know what you're talking about? And if you were face to face with him and he said to you, I am the resurrection here, now, today, and the power of the resurrection is still alive and well and available, would you be able to look him in the face and say, you know what? I believe that. I really do. I believe that. Would you be able to say it not only from just a head knowledge perspective, but would you be able to say that from an experience perspective and say, yeah, I believe that because I have experienced the power of the resurrection in my life. You see, Jesus had already made some strong statements concerning his power and the resurrection. If you look in John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18, the Bible says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. See, that is the power of the resurrection. That is the power of Jesus Christ through the resurrection. He has the power to lay his life down, but he also has the power to take it again. And he's looking at Martha, and he's saying, you know what? I have the power also to make Lazarus come to life again as well. You see, Jesus had mentioned his ability to make people come alive from the dead even before on another occasion. In John chapter 5, verse 21, it says, "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." You see, Jesus had the power to quicken someone. And we all said, oh, sure, of course he did. Jesus raised the dead. He raised Lazarus. See, that's easy for us to believe. It's easy for us to think, 2,000 years ago, Jesus raised someone from the dead. The question is this. Is it easy for us to believe that Jesus would like to raise someone from the dead today? I want you to notice something about this story of Lazarus. Lazarus could not be raised from the dead until he died. He had to die first. That is a very important part of the story, and oddly enough, it's a part that you wouldn't really think about too much because it's so simplistic. I mean, obviously, he had to die before he could be raised from the dead. He couldn't be raised from the dead if he was standing there alive. And, of course, that's obvious. I mean, that should be obvious to everyone, but he had to die first in order for him to be raised from the dead. Lazarus had to become a dead man. The power of the resurrection has absolutely no effect on somebody until they're dead. But once they're dead, then the power of the resurrection can be manifest, and God can take the dead and quicken the dead so that the dead becomes alive. That is the power of the resurrection. Very recently, I know a man who was faced with the tragedy of the death of one of his children, his son. His son was 18 or 19 years old. He was in the strength of his youth. He was healthy. He was vibrant. He was an athlete. And there was apparently nothing really going on in his life that would cause anything negative to happen. But nevertheless, he sat down on the couch to play some video games, and next thing you know, he was just gone. And the coroner's report revealed that there's no known cause of death. He was just gone. He wasn't sick. He wasn't anything going on. He just was gone. He was no longer there. He was dead. His body was left, and he was dead. What a tragic and horrible situation for this man to go through. Nevertheless, true story, not too long ago. Here's the reason I share this story with you. You know, there's absolutely nothing in medical science that could make that boy live. There's nothing that scientists have done or figured out that can cause that body to come back to life and that boy to be alive again. Nothing that can be done about that. In fact, it's so funny to think about this because in the modern day, we're always talking about science and technology and the ability of this and the ability of that and all the different things that we think that we know, and yet we have a perfectly healthy, perfectly good, decent body. We can't figure out what's wrong with it at all. Seems everything that's in perfect operating order, and yet we can't make it live. We just simply can't. We don't have that power. We do not have that ability. Jesus, on the other hand, was able to walk into the situation where the body had been dead for 4 days. In fact, the body had been dead so long of Lazarus, the body had been in the tomb there so long that they were afraid to open up the tomb because it was going to smell bad. But Jesus wasn't concerned about that because he says, "I am the resurrection." Doesn't matter if the body's been dead 4 days or not. Doesn't matter if the body's been dead, for 4 minutes. We can't bring the body back to life. We can't bring somebody back to life. If they're dead, they're gone, and there's absolutely nothing we can do about that. It's just a fact. But Jesus Christ was not limited by that at all. He said, "I am the resurrection. I have the power to lay my life down. I have the power to bring it back. I have the power to quicken whom I will." And guess what? Today, I'm going to quicken Lazarus. And when he looked at that tomb, he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And the moment that he said, "Lazarus, come forth," that man who was dead was no longer dead. He was quickened. He became alive, and he came out of that tomb, and he was alive, and the people marveled. And of course they marveled. I mean, wow. I mean, what a powerful and awesome miracle for Jesus to bring somebody back from the dead right in the sight of all the people that were there watching and paying attention. And, of course, the news of this traveled everywhere. People even came to see Lazarus, the man that was dead and is now alive again, 4 days dead. Wow, that was just a powerful miracle. And it's easy for us to believe that there was a miracle way back then. But what about now? What about today? What about right here in this modern era in which we live? What about now? Can it happen? Well, if you ever go to a bookstore and you just look around, one of the things that you're going to notice all kinds of books on self-help, the subject of self-help. There'll be literally hundreds of books, how to help yourself become better at this, how to be a better leader, how to be a better preacher, how to be a better Sunday school teacher, how to be a better husband, how to be a better wife, how to be a better father or mother or parent or school teacher or whatever, how to be a better mechanic. I mean, the list is literally endless. It's going to on and on and on. There's just all kinds of self-help books out there. And when you think about the self-help books, and particularly when you think about secular self-help books, you're going to recognize that most of them don't provide a whole lot of help. And the reason for that is because they're basically dressing up the outside. I heard a sermon one time, and the person that was speaking said, dressed up on the outside and messed up on the inside. I thought, well, that's an interesting sermon title. Nevertheless, the person was talking about a reality that we see all the time. We can take somebody that they may be a drug addict or an alcoholic or some other kind of problem in their lives, and we can dress them up, make them look right, and, you know, get them all straightened out, so to speak, but on the inside, things are all still messed up, and ultimately, it simply doesn't work. And one of the reasons that it doesn't work is because we are trying to do something spiritual, but we're doing it with physical means. We're doing it with the arm of flesh. Ultimately, we come into the situation and we see a person who is dead. They're dead. They're dead. That's just what they are. They are dead. They're a dead person. And we would like to dress them up. We would like to put a fine suit and tie on the person, maybe spray them with some perfume, straighten out their hair, make sure that their lips are straight and their eyes are in the right, they're clothed in the right position, make them look real nice. But let me tell you something. Doesn't matter how nice that person looks in that coffin, they are still dead. They're still dead. We can make them look nice. We can make them smell nice and all of that stuff, but they're still dead. They're still dead. And that's just that simple. What is it that's going to take that person from deadness to life? It's going to be the power of Jesus Christ and the power of the resurrection that Paul spoke about. It's going to be that power that makes it happen. Pretty often I'll have someone that comes to me and says, well, you know, I've really struggled with this sin in my life, and I'm not sure how I'm going to overcome it because I try and I try and I try and I fail. And I say, well, that's exactly what's going to happen. Every time you try, you are going to fail because you're doing it the wrong way. You need to stop trying and you need to start dying. And they look at me kind of funny because they don't know what I'm talking about. But the very simple fact of the matter is that you can try to overcome sin if you'd like to. But the Bible does not even encourage you to try to overcome sin. It encourages you to die to the sin. Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to begin reading in verse 5. It says, mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked in some time when ye lived in them. Now, these are the things that we're to mortify. We're not to try to avoid these things. We're not to try to clean these things up. We're not to try to put on the perfume or the nice cologne and make it smell good and dress it up in a nice suit, make it look good. We're not supposed to do that. We're not trying to fix these things. We have to mortify these things. These things have to be dead. We have to become dead to them. We have to basically die. We have to die to these things. And so that is what we're going to do. And here's the point. Lazarus had to die before he could experience the power of the resurrection. And that's the problem with a lot of people in these days, is that they're not willing to die. They want to try. They don't want to die. They want to try real hard. Oh, if I just, you know, if I get my mind right, or if I have a strong mind, I can overcome. And if I can just think positive, I can do it. Well, all of this doesn't work, because no matter how positively that dead corpse thinks in that casket, it's still going to be a dead corpse, because it's just simply not going to happen. There has to be a power of the resurrection applied in order for a dead person to become alive. And in order for us to be qualified for resurrection power, we have to die. We have to die to ourselves. We have to die to our families. We have to die to our friends. We have to die to our sins. We have to die to our self-will and our pride and all of our ambition. We have to die. And when we die, when we're willing to just die to all of these things, that is when the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is willing and able to come into our lives and quicken us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Going down to verse 5, it says, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." Well, there you go. If you're going to have a miracle of resurrection in your life, you're going to have to be dead first before Christ can quicken you. And you're going to have to admit that you're dead in your sins, and you're going to have to come to that place where you know that you need the miracle and the power of the resurrection. I want to share this with you because this is very important, because a lot of times Christian people who believe in the death and resurrection of Christ in the past don't recognize the power of the resurrection right now in the present, and they themselves, they're all bound up with all kinds of different things going on in their lives, and they are trying to overcome it. Well, they're trying to overcome, maybe bad language or maybe an anger problem or something like that. They're trying to overcome these things. Oh, I'm going to overcome. I can overcome. I can do it. You know, in all things, I can overcome because Christ strengthens me. I can do all things. And we quote the verse and all of that, but the real bottom line is that they're trying instead of dying. But when we come to that place where we say, you know what, I have no power to overcome this. I have no power to be successful. I have no power in my life whatsoever. I just have to lay it all down. I have to come to the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ, lay it all down out here, just a big heap of deadness, lay it down and say, I am dead in this life. I am nothing. I have nothing to give, nothing, no power. I am completely just dead here. And when we come to that place of deadness, then Jesus, just like he said, Lazarus, come forth. He can look at me, he can look at you, and he can say to us, come forth. And we can be raised in the newness and the power of the resurrection. You see, I believe that when Jesus Christ raised from the dead, he came in the power to do something in our lives that is nothing short of a resurrection from the dead. He came with the power to deliver us, to save us, to set us free from all sin, from all wickedness in our lives, that we can be completely free from these things that hold us bound, and we can walk in the newness of the Spirit, and we can have complete victory over these things, not because we tried, but because we died, and because he, through the quickening power of his Spirit, has raised us to new life. You might be thinking even right now, well, that sounds very good and all fine, but, you know, how does that become a reality in my life? Well, this is exactly where I want you to be, because if you're thinking this question right now, this is exactly where you need to be, because this is the place where you can open your eyes and see, and you can open your heart of faith to believe that Jesus is the resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection, not I was the resurrection. He is still the resurrection today. He can bring that resurrection power into your life even right now while we're here on the radio. He can bring this resurrection power into your life. And that's exactly what we want him to do. And it has to come by faith. It's very simple. You have to believe not in the resurrection of Christ way back long time ago only. I mean, you have to believe that, but you don't just believe that only, but you must believe that he can resurrect you right now and bring you out of your sins, bring you out of your situation by the power of the resurrection now, here today.
Thank you for listening to Speak to Me with Billy Pruitt. If this program has ministered to you and you would like to pray with someone, or maybe you just need to talk to someone about your soul, give us a call at 407-731-9998. Again, that's 407-731-9998. You can also email us at info@speaktomeradio.com. Again, that's info@speaktomeradio.com. For a free copy of today's message, just visit our website, speaktomeradio.com. Again, thank you for listening to Speak to Me with Billy Pruitt. May the Lord bless you today and have a great day.